5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
Actually, Paul Lavoie's twin is in the house. That would be me. And Jim Russell's twin is here as well.
Yeah. Or we got a mirror.
Yeah, right, right. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Monday, July 25th, 2022. I don't know if you know that Stephen Wright joke where he says my house was broken into the other night, and I woke up the next morning and everything was replaced with an exact replica. I love that joke. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. A little programming side note. We did not do the show on Friday. Mark Fincham regrettably had to reschedule. So Mark is going to be on Wednesday for the entire hour. He's running for Secretary of State. He's endorsed by former President Trump. And then a little side note for tomorrow, we're going to have Mayor Cal Sheehy on the program with a council member. But we're going to cut him to a half hour because council candidate Mark Curry is going to be on the show. Yeah. So, of course, Just for Fun Power Sports.
Yes.
So he's the owner.
Yes, indeed.
And he's running for city council. And I confirmed with Mark this morning he will be on the show. And then on today's show, our guest is already on the phone.
Yes. All tuned up here.
He is all tuned up, too. He's fired up. District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson, welcome.
Welcome. No twins today.
No twins. Buster has no exact replica. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So your name was in the paper a couple times today. So let's kind of go over some things that are happening right now relevant to the county and your district, of course, in Lake Havasu City. But I want to talk about that recent Truth in Taxation hearing that took place before the budget was approved for, I don't know, what was that, $569 million for the current fiscal year. But talk about that no vote in the Truth in Taxation rate hearing that you cast.
Well, the vote is to set the taxation rate. A budget is brought forward by staff, and we debate the merits of the budget, you know, and if there's something we want to cut or something, you know, we want to do, then we can do it. And that is affected by the tax rate we set. So, because obviously you have to set the rate so you can know how much money you're bringing in, so you know exactly what services you can provide. And it got a little confusing at one point because Supervisor Bishop had made a motion to accept the Truth in Taxation number that was presented to us. And I guess I must not have heard very good. I'm only sitting two seats away, but I heard Supervisor or Chairman Gould second, and I thought he seconded that. But it turned out that he had seconded, that Supervisor Bishop had not gotten a second, and Supervisor Angus had made a motion to lower the tax rate, and that's what the chairman had seconded. But somehow I missed that. And so when they started voting, everybody was voting, well, the others were voting yes, and I thought, something's wrong here. So I said, wait a second, clarify the motion. So when they clarified it, they were making the motion to lower the taxation rate. And so my objection to that was, I don't like lowering the tax, I don't have a problem lowering the taxation rate, but you've got to cut somewhere. You know, you can't, you know, if you have a certain amount of money and you lower it by $1.5 million, you're going to be short, you know. And I think Supervisor Angus has said, oh, we've run short before. Well, that's not the way I think government should run.
Right.
Yeah. So it went through 3-2, but I was able to bring up, you know, I checked with the chairman and brought up the fact that let's cut. We cut $2.5 million out of the budget, so I was happy with that. I have no problem lowering the rate, you know, but you got to lower your expectations of what you're going to get done with it too. So it worked out okay. So we were going to be $1.5 million short. Now and then that cut that $2.5 million. So that put us in good stead because we don't really know exactly where, you know, the cost of gasolines and, you know, everything you bid on comes in way higher now. If you can even get the products to finish something. So
Buster,
that should work out okay.
How does that process work? You'd say reduce the rate. Do you guys get to choose the taxation rate that the citizens pay up? Is that just a natural course of the budgetary process?
Yes, and it's kind of frustrating, you know. I remember for years I tried to put that Prop 13 in, and you know, three times we almost got it through, and actually the Republicans stopped us from doing it. At the end, they were in charge and wouldn't give it a final hearing. All we needed was one more hearing to get it passed. Mm-hmm. And then some other gentlemen asked if they could run it again, and they did it, and they came up with the proposal we have now, which is like, well, you can go up 2% every year, and the state tells you exactly where they think you should be at. We're, I believe, 50 cents under where the state says we should be. And how, you know, why you would think the state would be proud of that, saying, look, Mojave County can run with less money than we think they should. They actually hold that against us when you go down and say, hey, quit cutting our budgets or quit putting, you know, unfunded mandates on the county. You know, we're just struggling to get by. They say raise your tax rate, which isn't the right answer that I would like to hear. But, you know, I understand why they're saying that. But if we raised it 50 cents, well, that'd be a, I mean, it'd be millions of dollars to the county to waste. But
right. So is that tax rate, Buster, what is it? Is it 5.85 or something like that, or has that gone up? I'm talking about sales tax.
I don't know what sales tax is because we don't have any.
Oh, okay. Then that's okay.
We're one of the few that doesn't have a sales tax. I think there's only two counties less than us, and they're like Greenlee and somebody else as far as collecting taxes, you know. But right. The problem is, you know, you still got to run a county that's pretty good size, even though we're only a couple hundred thousand people. But, you know, you have to provide all the same services, you know, the sheriffs and the courts, which are, you know, our two biggest money draws. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the ones that, you know, cost us millions of dollars.
Right. Again, we're talking with District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson. And Buster's on the phone, but you can participate as well if you want to give him a call. It's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And I want to talk about this pigeon issue. The pigeon issue that we have in Lake Havasu City. I'm sure they have it in other parts of the county as well. But there's an ordinance against feeding pigeons, correct?
Yes.
And it's quite a fine too. If they come to your house and they warn you, hey, the pigeons are eating out of your feeder, and they have to come back, that fine could be up to $500. And you issued kind of a press release on this Friday. Why don't you go over the main topics that you wanted to stress?
Well, the fine can actually be up to $5,000.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, we started getting calls again. Every once in a while we were getting them. Back in the 90s, it was pretty bad.
You know, I remember.
We had people that actually died while the coroner wouldn't say it came from the pigeons. The pigeons were roosting on the house next door where the people were feeding them, and they had the feces that dried, and the people opened their sliding door, and a gust of wind came in, and the lady had a weakened immune system, and you know, so it's hard to say, you know, if it was the pigeons or what, but it was a pretty big problem. And we've, like I said, off and on, we've had a few people do it, you know, somebody will come to town and forget. And it usually starts with, you know, feeding the quail or the doves, which is legal. And then the pigeons come around, and so the pigeons will just take over. And you can tell the people that continue to feed because they'll say, oh, I like the pigeons. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had one person that actually, you know, we kept telling them not to do it, and they would open their garage up about 8 inches and then feed inside. You're like, oh, my God, that place was a mess from all the pigeons that were in there and the feathers and everything else that got inside. But, yeah, just because of the diseases they carry. And I remember when, you know, back when I worked for L.A. County, I had a guy knew that he worked at the Hall of Justice, and his job was to take the trustees up and clean out the towers every morning, you know, from the pigeons. He actually lost a lung.
Oh, my goodness.
From breathing those fumes, you know.
Wow.
And so I was very aware of, you know, how deadly that stuff can be. And here in Arizona, you know, especially Mojave County with our heat gets so high, I haven't seen the big flocks of pigeons like I used to, but, you know, you go around and see them and they would just cover a roof or cover the area. And then with our dry conditions, that just goes into the air. And, you know, we have a lot of people here with breathing problems that don't need to be breathing that stuff in and getting additional diseases they don't want.
Yeah, they
so
get...
hopefully.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, people will understand that, hey, that's not something they need to do. And, you know, you can feed the quail and the dove and, you know, all the other little creatures you want, the roadrunners, but, you know, don't be feeding the pigeons.
Yeah, the other problem is with pigeons anyway, once they have their babies and they're up inside your attic or something, that's their home. Pigeons always go home to roost, and that'll be, it's like they have a internal GPS or something like that. Skunks are the same way, by the way. Yes. We have a listener who texted in, a listener, Jack. He wants to know, does that mean feed no birds? And that's how he wrote it. So does that mean you can't feed any birds out there?
No, you can feed anything but the pigeons.
How can people, how can people control that?
Well, we used to, back when we first put it in, I belonged to the Footprinters. It was a law enforcement group. And we would make the little ground feeding cages that the quail and the dove could get in, but the pigeons wouldn't. I don't think anybody does. It's nothing real tough. You just take the, you know, kind of like the pig fencing, and then just cut it, you know, around the corners and then just bend it down so it stands up. But the pigeons, because of their, you know, their chest size, they can't get through the wire, but the other birds can, you know. Where you'll notice it, I mean, I haven't seen it around town, but you'll go by one place and there'll be like 300, 400 pigeons there, you know.
Huh.
And it really gets to be a mess.
And I recall over the years, every now and then, that we'd have a pigeon poop issues, but it's been a long time since that's been in the news front. Has it just been ignored, or have we been lucky with pigeons?
Yeah, every once in a while we would get one, but then here in the last week or so, we've been getting quite a few complaints and working on it. And most of the time it just, you know, the people don't know, you know, or they're feeding their doves or their quail and they, you know, the pigeons are attracted and you say, you know, you need to stop for a while, you know, till you, you know, get rid of the pigeons. You know, there for a while, you probably remember everybody was having their roofs pigeon-proofed and their air conditioners pigeon-proofed. We did it at the county buildings. We had to spend, you know, a little bit of money to, you know, keep them from nesting inside. And
right.
Heck, the one time, I mean, they, just like you were saying, they got into the roof somehow and came down. They fell down, and you could hear them flopping around the walls, you know.
Oh my God.
Well,
you can hear them cooing, too. I lived in a rented house in Laughlin that had a pigeon problem and since moved. But, oh, yeah, they'll coo, you know, like at night when you're trying to sleep, you know. So, yeah, they're a huge pest issue. So my next question would be, is it illegal to hunt them then?
In the city limits, yes.
Ah, that's a good technicality there.
Yeah, yeah. I personally wouldn't say anything, but I'm sure the police department would.
Right, right. So in Jim's neck of the woods, say if we had a problem in Crystal Beach.
Yeah, we could have a big pigeon hunt.
We're not encouraging that, by the way, folks.
That's it. Well, I know I had a guy at my other house I had before I moved to this one I'm in now. I had a few pigeons started coming in because I would, you know, I liked feeding the birds and pigeons came in, so we got a catch them alive trap, and I would take them up to him. He was in Kingman. He trained bird dogs. I guess they used the pigeons to train them.
Yeah.
But, so I got rid of them that way, except it was kind of weird because I got a pigeon in the cage, and it wasn't that secure in the cage, but then I brought them into the little patio. And as I started to go out, a hawk came down and flew inside. Now I had a pigeon and a hawk inside the cage.
Wow. At least it wasn't a chicken hawk, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I lived in Mojave Valley some years ago, and there was a guy next door who had a pigeon coop, and his pigeons were banded.
Mm.
He had bands on there. So, yeah, if you tried to take one out, then you'd find it with a band, and then you felt really bad.
Yeah.
So happened to a friend of mine. All right,
a lot of guys still race pigeons, so there's quite a few of those guys around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't get that, but you know, maybe we could get some insight from Mike Tyson one day, right? All right, back with more in a moment. I heard you liked a song called "The Boy Named Sue."
Yes.
All right, a little Johnny Cash coming your way. Buster Johnson, and at the bottom of the hour we'll have State Representative Leo Biasucci, hopefully in the studio. He confirmed with me yesterday, so of course running for re-election in the newly formed District 30, which covers Mojave and part of La Paz County, and then part of Maricopa. It's really interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, Wickenburg is in that new district. So, all right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brother Jim Russell. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Town to hide my shame, but I made me a vow to the moon and stars I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July. Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck 44 beneath my head.
Oh boy. Notice how he calls it a loving 44? You gotta love that, Buster. Alright, a little Cocaine Blues from Johnny Cash. We always play a little Johnny Cash, a lot of classic country when Buster's on the show.
One of the many benefits that Buster brings to us.
Yeah, sure.
So you say. Alright, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, and by Patio Paradise.
And they're good folks all. They just want a shot at your business. So give them a try, shop locally, and when you do, tell them you heard about them on Speak Out.
Right, right. They are really good folks, just like the guy who called in.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
We had a tip. We had a tip during the break about pellet guns and how quiet they are. He was just kind of
making a suggestion relative to pigeon problems.
I don't know if it was a suggestion, it was
observation.
An observation, right? Right. So thank you to that caller. That was very interesting. We got about 2, maybe 3 minutes left, Buster, and I wanted to go over this story about uranium mining, and Kyrsten Sinema and Senator Kelly they've already proposed SB 387. It's a Senate bill that's a potential uranium mining ban in the northeastern part of Mojave County. You've been fighting this for years, haven't you?
Yes. It's just such a boon financially for Mojave County. It's ridiculous that we're not pushing ahead with it. I've met with both of their staffs. I haven't met with either one of them. The paper had that a little wrong there. Tried to convince them, giving them all the information, documentation. It's tough right now with as divided as the Republicans and Democrats are back in D.C. Mm-hmm. To get anybody to go over, but we've had really good support from Mike Lee's done a great job out of Utah, and a guy out of well, obviously Manchin's been real good about it too, but it just doesn't make sense to me at all why we're not mining that uranium. And their ban will also stop the mining of any other, you know, minerals that are in the ground in Mojave County.
Yeah, we're talking about billions of dollars here, aren't we?
Well, back when we did the study in 2006, it was $29 billion, and we didn't use that, you know, like you see. Usually they'll say, oh, well, it's this much money, but that's like 10 times what it would be because they say, well, and then Jim Russell gets his money and he gives it to you and then you give it to somebody else. And, you know, we didn't do, they didn't do any of that. It was just $29 billion straight out the get-go. And now the prices have gone up. And with national security, I really can't believe they don't do it because we have the richest uranium in the United States. We have the most uranium in the United States. And what makes it good about that is, with our quality of uranium, it makes it more profitable, or makes it profitable now to go to other states like New Mexico, where their uranium isn't quite as strong as the uranium we have here. So you can mix it with their uranium. And to me, getting the uranium out of the ground is a better idea than leaving it there, because it's just going to destroy and go into the ground. We even had, you know, when they were in court, the one judge said, well, your aquifers flow the opposite way away from where your uranium is at. So we're not looking at polluting any of the ground. It's not a big open pit mine like you would see. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. All of our ships, I mean, you look at all the places uranium are, hospitals, why we have to import it from someplace else. We're going to be just like with gasoline, where we're going to be importing everything and we're at the mercy of, you know, all of our enemies, you know, who could shut us down at any time.
It's just like rare earth minerals too, you know, that are in Afghanistan. Now China gets those. So, and then we're going to import uranium from China too. So anyway, Buster, is there any path to victory for Mojave County on this? It just seems like we've been doing it forever.
Yeah. It's just getting the right people in Congress and the smart people. I mean, even the Department of Defense came out in support of us mining the uranium. You know, one thing when we talk about everybody's supporting the troops, the majority of our troops are injured with, you know, IEDs and stuff going back and forth to the outpost. If they would move the small uranium generators out there, they wouldn't have to haul all the gasoline and diesel and the fuel that they have to hire out to run these outposts, you know, so that would save lives too, just right there on a smaller scale.
I gotcha. Looks like our second guest is here, Buster. We're going to cut you loose, and thanks for fighting the good fight against the feds in D.C. Especially when it comes to that issue,
and fighting the pigeons for us.
That's right. Both important issues.
That's right. Go get yourself a pellet gun. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Buster. We'll talk to you later. All right. Big thanks to District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson. We've got Leo Biasucci. He texted me and said, I'm just pulling up. So I told him, come on back. We'll see how long it takes him to get past the director of the mothership's office, right? All right. State Representative Leo Biasucci on deck. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brother Jim Russell. We'll be back on Speak Out. Stay with us.
I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style. I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. Well, I said,
all right, Jim, there you go.
More classic country.
He loves it. He absolutely loves it, Leo.
He's a country guy.
He is. He likes the classic 8-track tape country.
You bet, yeah. A little warble from the 8-track.
Right, Leo Biasucci finally. Got to get out of the director of the mothership's office. just couldn't pass it. I predicted it.
You know, you walk in and you got to say hi to Steve and Tracy. It's
right. Got to kiss the ring.
Got to kiss the ring. Got to bend the knee.
Is that it? Genuflect. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank. Also, Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Check them out online at lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman.
Boy, we got everything from health food to office technology. We got it all covered from our clever advertisers. Give them a shot at your business, folks.
Yeah.
That's because you got to buy local or buy local.
Yeah.
And you know the radio is successful. All these people are coming in, right?
That's right.
Great sign.
Used to be a campaign. Radio gets results.
That's right.
That's what it's all about right there. Leo Biasucci, our guest. Right now you're District 5 state representative, but running for the newly created District 30.
30, yep.
Right, which is realigned. Oof. What do you think about it? I mean, how is that having to go from Mojave County to La Paz County all the way to Wickenburg? That's a big
district
now.
It's a lot of driving. Yeah, I mean, it just happened this last week. This is why I'm in shorts and a polo, because I've been in a suit in Wickenburg. This last week was Wickenburg, Bouse, Salom, Quartzsite, Bullhead, Kingman. I mean, we've been all over the place. And it's a big territory. It goes up all the way up to the Colorado border, or excuse me, Utah border, Colorado City, all the way down to almost Yuma, all the way over to Wickenburg. It's massive.
My God.
How does that work with the new constituents, though? They don't know you like we know you.
Right. And so that's the part that I'm working hard on now, because Wickenburg doesn't know me at all. Thank God they're Republican. Very, very red area. A lot of cowboys, a lot of, people that are in the rodeo, and so it's great. It's a perfect fit for us out in Mojave County, but that's where a lot of my work is concentrated on. I got to make sure they know who I am and make sure I get out there and speak to them, so I've been doing a lot of that lately.
But they're still in the great state of Maricopa.
I know, which is funny, right, because we always talk bad about that. You know, we're always fighting the great
especially
state of Maricopa.
Especially sunny, yeah.
I know. So it's funny when I go out there, I tell them, I say, you know, when you hear me say the great state of Maricopa, I don't count you guys. You guys are a bit of a different breed than, because they don't want nothing to do with big city. I mean, this is why they live in Wickenburg. I mean, they're on the outskirts, they're rural, they're just like us, and so they understand that. I make sure I'm clear with them.
You mentioned Yuma. Does Yuma become part of?
No, close. We go down to Cibola, which is right there on the border of the Yuma Proving Ground area. So. We go right there in the edge, so we don't have Yuma. That's a whole different district.
My
so
Lord, you got a lot of square miles.
A lot of space, a lot of miles driven on that car. My office is my car. That's how I work. But it was great. But it's been a lot of driving. We were in Prescott on Friday. Got to meet with President Trump, which was incredible. Which is a funny story. I have to share this because
absolutely.
Yeah, so we're backstage, about 50 of us that were able to shake his hand and meet him, and so Secret Service is back there and. All their, all the staffers, and I was a third to meet him, and they're like, whatever you do, you go in there, like, do not shake his hand. He'll give you a fist pump, maybe, but you do not reach out and do that. I'm like, okay. So what happens? The curtain opens, and they go, President Trump, this is a Majority Whip Leo Biasucci, District 5. And what does he do? He puts his hand out to shake me. So I'm like, so I'm looking at these guys, Secret Service. I'm like, I cannot shake the guy's hand. So I shake his hand and, hey Leo, you're doing a great job. And then we take the photo, and then the Secret, all right, let's go, move. And then he didn't let go of my hand. So then I'm like, he keeps talking to me and, it was a great experience. I mean, I share that too because here's a guy who flies in. Meets with people for an hour backstage, goes on stage for almost 2 hours, flies back to Tampa. I mean, the energy of this man is absolutely incredible, right?
And then he works. Oh,
he's
for
a
sure.
workhorse.
Yeah.
And you look at the opposite of happening, who's in the White House now, and it's, I mean, night and day.
Right.
The guy is an absolute animal, and it's you know.
So let's talk about state politics now.
Yeah.
At the Republican picnic, a lot of people were suggesting that you could be a Speaker of the House in Arizona. Yeah, Rusty Bowers has been censured now by the party. Right. What are your aspirations as far as that goes?
You know, it's I like to explain to people, like, right now me being the majority whip is so important for rural Arizona. Right, because a lot of times you go to the Capitol and it's always, like we talked about, the great state of Maricopa. You have so many legislators that represent the big cities. So we're outnumbered heavily down there. So being the whip, this is why, and Sonny being the whip in the Senate, and Gina was the approach chair, you're talking about three very, very powerful positions.
Absolutely. The biggest.
The biggest.
Yeah.
And this is a big reason why we got so much done, because we were able to say, hey, look, we're here, and we're in leadership now, so now you have to start paying attention to us on rural Arizona. So for me, I know it's going to be extremely important for me to jump into the majority leader position or the speaker. Depends how this race comes out in August, on the numbers fall, mm-hmm. and who gets elected. So, you know, the natural move would be to go to majority leader, which is second in charge, and then the following session go to Speaker of the House. But if certain people don't get in, the speaker could open up. And it's I hope people understand that why it's so important. You know, obviously I want to get reelected because I think I've been doing a great job. Right, we've gotten stuff done for this area that hasn't been done in a very, very long time. Whether it's the highway, SLIF funding, lowering our taxes, like so many great things, protecting our water. That happens because we have a leadership presence.
Protecting taxes for veterans.
Yeah, I mean
that's
huge. I mean the tax cut for veterans pensions in Arizona is now zero. The flat tax at 2.5% now across the board, doesn't matter how much you make, is now going to be next year. Highway 95, after 20 years of getting zero attention, mm-hmm. SLIF funding getting restored, you know, all the things that we need out here in rural Arizona, finally in the last 4 years with Sonny and Gina, we came together as a team and we kicked butt. And so for me, my main thing is, you know, I've never had this ambition to, you know, move up to governor and do all this. My goal has always been, look, we haven't been represented always at the Capitol. And so my goal is, how do I get in and get as much done for our district while I'm in office as I can? And so that's why it's important for me to be majority leader. Or if speaker opens up, then move that position so I know we get the representation.
So do those positions, are you elected into those
positions? Yes, you're elected by the body, though. So what happens is the election's over in November. We all go to the Capitol the next day. We all meet as a closed caucus, all the Republicans. And then the members within the caucus, they vote for leadership. So they vote for the whip, majority leader, and the speaker. So that's how it works. So that will happen in November. You know, God willing, I get reelected in August. I don't have a general election. No Democrat is challenging me here. So that's the good news. So I'll mm-hmm. I'll be done in August, and I'll get automatically in. And then it's me working on getting the votes to stay in leadership. So,
but your seatmate, Regina Cobb, is termed out.
Termed out.
So you have a whole host of other candidates running. How important is it for you and Sonny to get the right seatmate? What happens if you don't, in your opinion?
Well, we saw what happened before I ran, right? We had a situation
with Paul Mosley,
right? Where
yeah.
you had Gina and Sonny got along, Paul not so much, and so they butted heads, and nothing got done. You know, and so this is why my entire campaign trail this year, I've always made it clear everywhere I speak, I need you to send me a teammate, a seatmate, and a teammate. I you know, we're always going to disagree on stuff, right? There's no question. I've disagreed with Gina on stuff, I disagreed on Sonny and stuff, but we've always gone behind closed doors. We figured it out. We never went to the media and said, oh, Sonny's an idiot or mm-hmm. Gina's no
yeah.
No, you can't do that because the moment that they see a fraction in the three of us in the rural group, they will take advantage. Those other legislators will see, oh, we're going to pick him off. We're going to pull him into our group.
Is that what happened with Mosley?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So and you can't, I mean, Mosley, I get it. He moved to Havasu. I think he only lived there for maybe a few years. He was from Phoenix, so he didn't really have the roots down here in rural Arizona.
He's from Mesa, right?
I think Mesa,
yeah.
Right. And so I get it. His loyalties might have been somewhere else. So this is why this is the most important. Obviously, number one, I got to get reelected. Number two is I want somebody that's going to respect Sonny and I, that's going to work with us, that's going to have integrity and great character. And when the time comes when we're getting pushed back by whatever special interest, like we saw what happened with the water, where they spent $3,000 attacking Sonny, Gina, and I.
Right.
I want to make sure that that person's going to stick with us like that, you know, that strong group of us three and say, no, you're not going to push us over. We have a backbone. And that's the most important thing for me.
I got you. Let's take a phone call. Yeah. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah. I did early voting, absentee.
Okay.
And so did my son, who's a long-distance truck driver. So when the early voting ballot came, he was up in New York State. So I called him, and I went over the ballot with him. And he votes like me. We're ultra-right wing. So I did the ballot, mailed it in. on his ballot, I put that I had filled it out. So the Register of Voters calls me and says, well, he didn't put his X next to his name. I said, he couldn't. He was in New York State. He wasn't here yet.
Right.
You know? They said, well, basically, sorry. His vote won't count.
Yeah.
And
it's not a provisional ballot in that case, Leo?
No. Did he sign up to have a provisional ballot?
No, I just always done. I think my main problem here has been I decided I'm going to be honest this time.
Sure.
Normally, right. I just
this time.
Yeah, normally I just forge his name. I've never had a problem in the 10 years I've lived here. Now, when I try to do it the right way, his vote don't count. So. And we voted like for you know, whoever's running that, you know, I thought was good Republican and everything. But they're going to be one vote shy because of my son got burned.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so of course.
I'm going to go back to the old way. I'm just going to cheat.
Hang on, caller. Go ahead, Leo.
No, I mean, obviously we don't. I know, I understand the frustration, but we don't want you to do that. We don't want you to, obviously, because that was the problem, right? You can't be signing another ballot. And I understand he's not here. Is he gone the whole time, even during early voting, mail-in, and day of? Is he gone the entire time, every time?
He doesn't know when he'll be home, when he doesn't come home. It's about every 3 months for like four days.
Wow.
I mean, what you could also do is send him the ballot.
Right.
I mean, wherever he's staying, send him the ballot unopened.
Where he stays? He stays in his 18-wheeler.
That's tough to do.
He just lives in that truck. He drives.
I hear you. I wish there was another way. Maybe talk to the.
There is.
Well, I don't want you to cheat.
Yeah, another way.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We want you to do the right thing.
Yeah, do it legally. And I understand the frustration
see what happens when you do the right thing.
I know. But I mean, I get it. But hopefully hopefully there's a way to make sure that he's here to vote in person. And thankfully, Arizona, we do have a month or so of voting that lets you do it. But I know it's tough when people are working and thank God he's working. Yeah. I mean, he's a truck driver. I mean, he's keeping this country moving. Yeah. And so, those are the guys that, we appreciate more. We want to make sure they can vote. What I would do is get a hold. Do you have the number for the recorder's office in the elections department?
Well, they're the ones that called me.
Yeah, no, I would call them back and tell them the situation and make sure it's set up properly.
I already talked to them about that.
And what they say?
And it's sorry, you know. I said, okay, I'll cheat again like I did.
I'm not hearing this.
La, 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 la. Hey, thanks a lot, caller. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for sharing. Leo, what are your plans for the next legislative session as far as projects go? It just seems like so much got done. What's left?
It's funny you say that. I was talking to my wife about that. I said, oh, man, I almost got too much done. I'm like,
is this your last term then?
No, so this is just my second term right now. So
okay.
I have two more terms to run for.
Two more two-year terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless I switch to the Senate, then it kind of resets for me in the Senate. I think, this, if I become the majority leader or the speaker, the goal is really to help the caucus, right? You have a majority plan. You have a plan for the Republican caucus to get things done at the statewide level. I'm going to have my little projects, that second bridge is one of my biggest priorities. Sonny knows that. Water is going to be a huge issue this next term because they've been trying to steal that the 4 years I've been in there. We have to make sure that we figure that out now. I'm tired of waiting. We've been waiting on the feds for years, and they just slow walk everything. And so it's time to the state just to say, and we did that. We put $1 billion this year into it, and we're going to make sure we get something done to make sure that our water is being replenished properly because it's a problem, and it's something that we have to make sure we fix.
Right. Let's take another call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Leo. Hi, it's Jack.
Hey, Jack.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Do you have aspirations of going to D.C.?
The swamp?
Yikes.
I know. You know, it's funny. I've been asked this question a few times about if I'm interested in that, and all I know right now is that I've been extremely successful at this level. And I'm proud of that because I'm from here, and I think that that has been my concentration to get things done. What makes me nervous about D.C. is I also talked to Gosar, and I talked to Debbie Lesko, and I talked to Biggs on Friday, and they all say the same thing about it's is just so swampy, right? You get in there, and for the first 2 years, you're just raising money for the party. You can't even get on a committee unless you raise like $100,000, and that is just against everything that I believe in, right? Yeah. My goal is, it's the reason why I ran. I wanted to get in because so many people I saw get into politics. They promise this, they promise that. They have the carrot in front of you and just saying, oh, I'll get this done, and nothing gets done. So this is why when I got in, my goal was, I'm going to get in, I'm going to get things done, period. I'm not going to, you know, play the game or, you know, worry about this and that. So right now, my concentration is my district and getting things done. If an opportunity comes up later for D.C., you know, I got to make sure there's somebody in the White House that's going to be an ally.
It sounds so dysfunctional with all the lobbyists.
It's so bad. It's not any bad. I mean, I remember when the first year I was elected, I went to D.C. That first year, and Trump was still in office. And, you know, we met with Melania's team, and we were able to go to the White House. And I remember telling us how when he got in, he couldn't trust anybody, right? Because here you have an outsider. The establishment is still the same. They've been the same for 50, 60 years, right? The same people in each department and each agency. Yeah. They never change. And they said they could not even trust, you know, people in their own staff.
Even his chief of staff, Reince Priebus, was questionable.
Absolutely. And this is why when you saw that huge timeline of people getting fired, like, mm-hmm. every week, I was like, what is going on here?
Especially Comey.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly.
And that was controversial?
Right.
Really?
I know. It was because President Trump's the team, they said, look, we couldn't trust anybody, right. So we were trying to weed them out. Who was a spy? Who was, not a spy, but you know what I mean, who was actually feeding information?
A leaker. Yeah.
And that's why he goes, all these firings, because we caught them. We right. found out, oh, that person we can't trust. So in the end of his presidency, he had like a handful of people that he trusted. I mean, that's how bad it is out there.
Right.
And so the question for me is, you know, do I go there and then become a lame duck? Or do I continue staying here and get things done for Arizona?
Make the most impact
and get things done. So it's crossed my mind. People have brought it up. But I think right now I want to continue just fighting for rural Arizona, for Mojave County, La Paz County. Make sure we're protected and make Arizona the best state in the union. So.
There you go, Jack.
Okay, well, you and Sonny are our heroes down here, and we love you.
I appreciate you, Jack.
Keep up the good work, buddy.
We will. Thank you.
So let's talk about the second bridge.
Yep.
All right. There's been study. I know there's been at least one study.
Right.
And now we just funded another study.
Right.
When does the rubber hit the road,
right.
so to speak, and we get off these studies?
Yeah. So, I mean, that first study, I don't even know that was how long ago, 15 years ago maybe. It's been a very long time.
Yeah, it was called the Freedom Bridge, right?
Right. That's what they named it. I don't know what came out of that study at all, but what I wanted to do was, you know, there's always a process, and obviously you build something, you want to make sure the studies are accurate, up to date.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do this as step one. We had to. And hopefully we can see that, look, with the studies there, we need it. I mean, we saw it even on 4th of July weekend. I mean, I remember Councilwoman Nancy Campbell sent me a message, and she's like, I'm on the bridge, and we're stuck because there's an accident, so traffic can't move. And that's always been my fear is, look, if something drastic happens, you have pipes running underneath that channel, you have a lot of things going on. You need a way to get off that thing. This is an emergency situation, in my opinion. Now, a lot of people say we don't need it. What's the point? You know, the state shouldn't be getting involved. This is not a state issue. I remind people, and this is where I might differ from people. I say, look, all our money in the state, it comes from tax dollars, right?
Right.
Your tax dollars. Everybody in this habit, we're all paying into that same pool. So then it becomes, the money gets sent to the state, and then it gets divvied up. So
not
for me,
not to mention SLIP funds.
Right, exactly. So which we contribute a majority of that money.
The most.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I fought to get it reinstated, because mm-hmm. I'm like, look, this is ridiculous that we're putting all the money in, and they're sweeping it. Which, by the way, we got $4 million now this next year, which is great. But so for me, my argument is, look, if I can take that money that's tax dollar money and put it towards my district, why wouldn't I do that? So when I get the pushback, I don't understand it, because you look at these budgets and there's stuff everywhere that people get. Flagstaff got this center this year, some downtown, I don't even know what it was. You got another project that was in Prescott that had nothing to do with the state. It was a city thing. So for me, it's like, look, I'm gonna continue doing what I think is best for our district, for our constituents. That's my priority. What do I do to make sure our residents here are represented, they're getting what they need, whether it's roads, whether it's taxes, whether it's a bridge. Sonny and I talked about this on the drive the other day. We said, look, let's get that money. Let's put it. It's going to be up to the city to figure it out and get it done. We can always take that money back if they don't utilize it in a timely manner. So,
perfect. You're getting good at the filibuster.
I know. Right?
Leo Biasucci is our guest. Good. good luck in the coming primary.
I appreciate that.
That's on Tuesday.
August 2nd.
Vote
for Leo. Vote for Sonny. Send me a good teammate. I want somebody that's going to be a rock star.
Early voting ends this Friday, by the way.
At the library here in Havasu, at the library in Bullhead. Kingman is at, I believe it.
Heidenreich Center.
So.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to take our last break of the hour. I'm Paul LaVoy along with Brother Jim Russell. Stay with us.
Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't know how to take him. Mothers, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
And that's what they say in Wickenburg, Jim.
Yeah. Leo needs more cowboys.
Absolutely. All right, on tomorrow's show, we're going to have Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy, and that'll be in the first half. The second half, we'll have council candidate Mark Curry, the owner of Just for Fun Power Sports. On Wednesday, Mark Fincham is going to join us by phone. He's the Trump-endorsed candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Then we have Brian Springberg on Thursday, and on Friday, another Legislative District 30 candidate, that is Republican Donna McCoy from Lake Havasu. She calls herself the real McCoy.
Yes. We've had her.
It's good she's not a counterfeit McCoy, right?
Right.
All right. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News, and we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Thanks for being here, Jim.
My pleasure as always.
All right. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Stay hydrated out there.
Things to make you think he's right.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HT2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.